Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff here along with my wife, Debbie. And we want to talk to you today about the subject of worry. How are you doing in the ongoing war with worry? All of us face anxiety. And this is what the scripture tells us in Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing. Worry about nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Well, Debbie, we are focusing on worry today. Worry is something that is, to use a big word, ubiquitous. Everybody, isn't that good?
That, I don't even know what it is.
It means it's everywhere.
Spell
it's,
it. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I can't spell it. It is all around us. It is something that everybody knows about. Everybody battles with. Every Christian battles with that.
Sure.
When Jesus told Martha in Luke chapter 10, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. And she was worried and bothered about her meal that she was making for Jesus. And the fact that Martha was sitting at the Lord's feet listening, or Mary was sitting at the Lord's feet listening to his word, and she had left her to do all the serving alone. And the Lord just said, listen, Mary's chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. You're worried and bothered. You're stressed. She's blessed. Which do you want to be?
Well, and I think we would all say, yeah, man, I want to be blessed. I don't want to be stressed out and worried. But when the Bible tells us worry about nothing, that is a very hard thing to accomplish, particularly in our own strength. And, you know, there's so much anxiety in our world today. And I was kind of looking up like, okay, what? How does the dictionary even define anxiety? Because the words anxiety and worry are fairly synonymous. But it says that it's a feeling of worry, of nervousness or unease about an imminent event or something that has a very uncertain outcome. And there's all different levels of anxiety that we can face. We can have mild anxiety over things, but then we have people, and you may be one, or you may for sure know someone who has excessive anxiety. That's just like something that dominates their life. It just inhibits them from being able to live life fully and to enjoy life. And it ends up, it can have a lot of physical symptoms. You can be short of breath. You can have high blood pressure. It increases your heart rate, gives you muscle tension. You can have trouble breathing. I mean, all of those things come along with folks that have more of an excessive anxiety issue. But I read something today that I thought was so good, because so often, you know, I talked about the fact that the word worry and anxiety are fairly synonymous. Fear and anxiety are not necessarily synonymous. They're different, because we can feel fear over something, but it's usually very present oriented. It's something right. That's happening right now, and it's more short lived, because once that particular thing that we're fearful of is resolved, we can go on down the road. Mm-hmm. But anxiety is much more future oriented. So it's a thinking about I don't know what's going to happen mm-hmm. in this situation. and I don't know what's going to happen down the road, and I don't have any control over it. And that when I think about the fact that I don't have control, I get even more anxious. And so it just can kind of spiral in on itself.
Right. Yeah, we can be afraid. Like you can have a fear of snakes or a fear of heights or whatever. And you know, when you're put in that situation, you're put on the roof or something like that. It's like, I don't want to look over. I was watching a video the other day where some guy was on top of a building. It looked like he was 50 floors up, and he put his bike right on the ledge, you know, to get some look at me. And I couldn't even watch it. I was like, man, this is giving me anxiety just watching it.
Right.
But it's more of a fear of heights.
Right.
I like what Wayne McDill, who is my preaching professor in seminary, I took a class from him, and from that class wrote the book, Runaway Emotions, Why You Feel the Way You Do and What God Wants You to Do About It. And in Runaway Emotions, we talk about negative emotions and what's the positive message in negative emotions. And one of the emotions we dealt with was worry. And this is what Dr. McDill taught me. Definition of worry, it's the tension and distress experienced over the anticipated loss, whether real or imagined, of some valued possession. And so it is always, as you said, it's always future. Fear can be right in the moment, but worry, you're worried. You try and go to sleep at night and you're worried about a meeting you have in the morning, or it's always something that's looming on the horizon. And when worry gets in and gets into your heart, it steals your sleep. It ties your stomach in knots. It dominates your thinking. It casts a shadow of dread over everything in your life. And Charles Mayo of the Mayo Clinic said this: worry affects the circulation, the heart, the glands, and the entire nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
Worry is a terrible thing in the life of a Christian, because it's like putting sand in your gas tank. It will just gum up the operation of the vehicle.
Well, I think one of the main issues in terms of anxiety is that we can't just let it run amok. We have to have intentionality in fighting it off, because if we do just let it run amok in our hearts and in our minds, all of a sudden we are just consumed with it and it has completely taken over. And so there has to be intentionality of, when I initially start feeling like this, I've got to have a strategy in place, mm-hmm. in terms of how to deal with this. And you know, there are times, Jeff, that anxiety is caused due to chemical imbalances or whatever that's in your brain, and there are times when medication is most definitely needed to help those things and to help get that chemical balance back in your brain. But there are other times when chemical balance really doesn't have anything to do with it. And those are the times that we particularly have got to have a strategy in place on how we're going to deal with anxiety. Because just like you said, if we look around at our world today and we stay focused on our world for any length of time, we are going to become anxious.
Right. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that would bring anxiety into your heart. So just as you said, and I've always maintained this, okay, so people who struggle with worry, chronic worriers, typically chronic worriers have a lot of intestinal problems.
Yes.
Because their bodies don't work right. They're, you know, just like what Dr. Mayo said, you're going to have problems if you have this stuff floating around in your mind and your heart, all this anxiety. And so when you start to feel yourself get worried, that should be like an alarm clock that goes off that says, okay, you have taken your eyes off of the Lord, just like Martha did. You're worried and bothered about so many things. Mary's not worried and bothered because she's sitting at my feet listening to my word. Her eyes are on me. And so it's a wake-up call that says, okay, wait a minute. I'm not focusing on Jesus. One of my favorite verses is Isaiah 26:3. For you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. And so if I'm not in perfect peace, Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And if I'm focused on him, then no matter what's going on around me, I can experience peace because he said, peace I give to you, my peace, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be fearful. And so when I'm troubled and fearful and full of anxiety, I've lost sight of the Lord who is over every circumstance in my life.
Well, and I think that goes back to the fact that with intentionality, we just have to acknowledge that we need the Lord's help. We need his help at that moment to help us get over the anxiety, or to at least know how to put it in its right place. And we have to focus on on not on our circumstances, but we have to turn our focus onto the Lord. And I remember hearing this from a friend in Sunday school one Sunday. We were talking about worry and anxiety, and she was saying, you know, the thing with worry and anxiety is the Lord doesn't just take that away from us. We have to bring it to him and give it to him. Mm-hmm. And so when we bring it to him and give it to him, he's faithful to take that from us. Mm-hmm. But he's not going to just magically take it away without us doing that, because it does take intentionality, and it takes trust, and it takes us taking our focus off of the circumstance and putting it on God and remembering that he is sovereign over all things. He's in control of all things. His will is going to be done. He's already won the battle, and we can trust him in all of that, because he is in control of everything. We can't control everything. In fact, I have learned in my life, any even iota of control that I think I might have is probably just an illusion, because I don't have much control over anything. I can control what I think about. I can control my mind. I can control my actions to some extent, but things that happen in my life, God ordains those things, and he allows me to walk through them, and asking me to trust him in the midst of it. And so in my own life, when I've had difficulty with anxiety, which I had in spades after I had a surgery that had a complication that came along with it, and my chemical balance in my head got completely messed up, and man, I struggled. I had never in my life struggled with anxiety before this happened. Mm-hmm. And it was the most alarming thing, because I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know why I was feeling short of breath, and why mm-hmm. I was getting just my muscles tensing up, my heart racing. I didn't understand why all those things were happening. And then the more they happened, the more anxious I got. Mm-hmm. And so it was just in this spiral. And I had to learn at that point, and I did get medication to help me even me out. I didn't have to take it for very long, praise the Lord. But I learned then just some pivotal things that helped me fight off that anxiety, which for me came so often either A, when I was completely by myself, mm-hmm. or B, in the middle of the night when I woke up. Mm-hmm. Those were the two biggest times that I had to fight off the anxiety. Mm-hmm. And I had to just find Bible verses so that I could focus on God's word and redirect my thoughts. And that took a lot of intentionality, and it took a lot of energy, because those anxious thoughts were really, really strong and overpowering.
Yeah. So Psalm 94 verse 19 says this: when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, your consolations delight my soul. And you're exactly right. You have to fight. Mm-hmm. You can't just sit there. You have to stand up to all those anxious thoughts and focus them on the word of God and say, wait a minute, this is not the way it's going to be. I'm going to fix my mind on Jesus, because he promises he'll give me perfect peace when I do that. And to have verses in the arsenal, you know, be anxious for nothing, worry about nothing, but in everything. So, okay, how do I do that? Well, in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, I let my request be made known to God. So you're worried about something. What do you do with that? You bring that to the Lord. Cast your care upon him, because he cares for you. It matters to him concerning you. And so you cast that burden upon him, and you say, Lord, this is what is I'm facing, whether it's a health issue, whether it's something with your kids, whether it's you know, some test at school, or possible plant shutdown, a pink slip at work, whatever it might be, financial reversal. You just say, Lord, this is my situation. I leave it with you. And, you know, and the Bible says, cast your care upon the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be forsaken. We cast that care upon him. And here's the thing that you do. You have to leave it with him.
Right.
Don't pick it back up as soon as you say amen. You lay off that heavy burden at the Lord's feet and you say, Lord, I'm leaving this with you. I'm keeping my mind fixed on you. You are the God of hope. And as the scripture says in Romans 15:13, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants to give you joy and peace as you trust in him. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here, along with my beautiful wife, Debbie. And we're talking about winning the war with worry. So don't worry. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, says this, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety, all your worries, all your cares upon him, because he cares for you." Well, Debbie and I are talking about the subject of worry and how can you win in this ongoing war with worry. Worry is something that is just common to every single person. Even as a young child, young children just naturally know how to worry. I remember as a little kid, my mom sometimes would be talking about some financial burdens, and I just would take that on, not even knowing about worry and all the things that it would do to a person. I didn't have a relationship with the Lord, but I would worry that we wouldn't have enough money. I would worry that, you know, my dad, if he was coming home late, would have gotten in an accident, or that just those things that are not just totally unfounded, but it's not a good way for a little kid to live.
No, absolutely not. And I can remember living with those same types of fears. My mother was a major worrier. In fact, I can remember specifically one time, and she kind of said this in jest, only it wasn't really funny, and it was true, that she would worry if she didn't have anything to worry about. She'd think, uh-oh, you know, there's something right around the corner that I need to be worrying about. And it goes back to what we said in that last segment, that we have we can't lean on our own understanding. We can't lean on our own strength. We have to rely on the Lord's strength. Because with anxiety can come tremendous irrational thoughts that are just absolutely not rational. And so we have to go to the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to help us discern between those thoughts that are rational and those thoughts that are irrational. And he's faithful to do that. So he can open our eyes to the fact that, okay, I'm feeling this, but this is irrational. This is not based on truth. And one of the things that, one of the things that I learned to do in the midst of my time with struggling with anxiety was to turn that anxiety into prayer. And so I would find different scripture, and I would just be real authentic with the Lord in terms of like exactly what I was feeling, exactly what was causing me so much stress and so much worry. And I would just focus in on praying His word back to Him. There's such power mm-hmm. in praying His word back to Him. And sometimes I would journal that in my journal. Sometimes I would speak that out loud. But I kind of got into a habit of doing that. And one of my favorite Psalms that I would do that with was Psalm 121. And I just thought I would maybe just give a little example of what I did with that. But the verse says, I lift up my eyes toward the mountains. Where will my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. So I would take that verse and I would say, okay, Lord, my eyes need to be upward towards You. They're not right now. I'm looking at this issue and this issue. I'm looking all around me, and with each blink of my eye looking all around me, I'm becoming more and more anxious. So I, with intentionality, am going to lift my eyes off of this mm-hmm. and I'm going to put my eyes on You, because that's where my help comes from. You are the source of my help. You made all of the heavens. You made all of the earth. Because of that, You have all power and all sovereignty, and I'm just going to look to You to do that. Then the verse goes on in verse 3 to say, He will not allow your foot to slip. Your protector will not slumber. Indeed, the protector of Israel does not slumber or sleep. And I would just turn that back around and say, Lord, if I'm looking to You, even if I'm on a slippery slope, You're not going to let me fall beyond catching me. You are able to catch me. When I feel in the midst of this anxiety that I am sinking into this deep, dark pit, I don't have to worry that You're going to let go of my hand. Mm-hmm. You're going to pull me out of it, and You're going to protect me. You see what I do all day long. You see me even in my sleep, because You never sleep. So there is never a time that I am away from Your watchful eye. Mm-hmm. And I can trust You. And so I would just go through that over and over and over again to make sure that I gave the Lord time to speak in the truth into my heart and to say, okay, you're worrying about this and this. Don't do that. You know, keep your focus on Me.
Yeah. So when my anxious thoughts, Psalm 94, verse 19, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, Your consolations delight my soul. It's exactly what Debbie said. You got to spend time in the Word and don't rush through it. It's not just like, you know, we quote a scripture and then everything's gone. You meditate in that scripture and you say, well, Lord, this is what You promised. And I know that it's impossible for You to lie, and You are going to keep Your word. That's why Isaiah 26:3 is so important. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on You because he trusts in You. And so we can just bring that to the Lord and say, Lord, this is what You promised, and I'm trusting in You, and You are going to bring peace. You and I can't manufacture the peace.
No.
That has to come. Peace I give You, my peace I leave with You, my peace I give to You, not as the world gives. How does the world give peace? Well, peace is just circumstances. So here's a check for $10,000. So you were worried that you weren't going to have enough to pay your bills. Here you go. That's just temporary circumstantial help. But Jesus gives peace in the midst of the storm, a peace, as it says in Philippians chapter 4, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So it doesn't make sense when the whole world is falling apart around us, we still have peace. As the Lord says in Psalm 46, which is a favorite for many, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And though everything falls apart, we're not going to fear. Now, when I think of fear, and I mentioned this yesterday on the program about Peter walking on the water, and he did well walking on the water. You know, he got out of the boat. He's walking on the water to Jesus. He is responding to the word of the Lord. Lord, if it's really You, bid me come to Thee on the water. And Jesus said, come. And so Peter got out of the boat, and he walked on the water to Jesus. And then it says this, and seeing the wind, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, Lord, save me. He took his eyes off Jesus, and he started to look at the wind. He started to look at the waves. He started to look at the, everything going on around him. And he said, based on the circumstances, this is impossible. I'm going to die. Well, when we really start to worry, it's 10 times out of 10. I mean, it's 100% sure. We've taken our eyes off Jesus. We're looking at the circumstances. Hey, it's good to know about the circumstances. Don't focus on the circumstances. Focus on the Lord.
Well, and just focus on his attributes and his character, on his sovereignty, on his control, on his trustworthiness, on his love, on his mercy, on his grace, his wisdom, all those things. That's where we need to focus in. And we need to realize that, you know, oftentimes there's not immediate answers, but that doesn't mean that we stop praying, that we stop our intentional seeking after the Lord, because his timing is so often not aligned with ours. In fact, probably most of the time, his timing isn't aligned with ours. So we have to just trust in the midst of whatever it is that we're going through, that God is not asleep at the wheel. He's working behind the scenes on our behalf, because he promised us that he's working to give us a future and a hope. Mm-hmm. And so we have to keep our minds focused on the truth and on the truth of God's character. And then we have to, with our minds, and this is whether we are dealing with anxiety or not, but we have to continually be asking the Holy Spirit to renew our minds, because in this world, our minds get off track really, really easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, Romans 12:2. And so we do that as we spend time in the Word, and as we, it's like you said, Debbie, with Psalm 121, you interact with that. Mm-hmm. And so you, as you read, you pray that through, and then you read it again, and you pray it through. And God, you know, you say, this is mine, but I don't feel like I have it. So by faith, I'm appropriating this. Those kinds of things are critical. That's how you walk by faith and not by sight.
And just remembering that your feelings are not truth.
Right.
Right? Now, your feelings can be truth if they're aligned with the Word of God.
Right.
But when you're having anxious thoughts, worried thoughts, fearful thoughts, in all likelihood, they're not aligned with the truth. Fear can be at times, because God has given us enough wisdom to know, hey, that copperhead right there, you need to be fearful of that, mm-hmm. right? Stay away from that. But when we're talking about more irrational types of thought processes, those feelings are not truth. It is God's Word that's truth, and the Holy Spirit is the one who can help us recognize that, as well as help us know what we need to do to refocus those thoughts.
Well, the Apostle Paul said this in 2 Timothy 4:18, the last chapter he ever wrote, toward the end of all that he ever wrote, because 2 Timothy goes to verse 22. So this is right at the end of his writings. Chapter 4, verse 18, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and will bring me safely to his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, he ended up getting his head cut off in Rome for his faith in Christ. People say, well, I guess God didn't deliver him from every evil deed. Yeah, he did. Because as soon as he breathed his last in this life, he breathed his first in glory, and he was ushered into the presence of the Lord, and the Lord delivered him from every evil deed. One of the things I remind myself of often, especially in the dark days in which we live, you know, Paul said in the last days, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, in the last days, difficult times will come. We're living in the last days. We're living in difficult times. And you remind yourself, okay, what is my purpose here on the earth? I mean, what is it? You just back up 30,000 foot view. What is my purpose here? My purpose is to glorify God. My purpose is to be his witness. My purpose is to be faithful to him and to shine and share, as we talk about on this program, as we talk about in our church all the time. And so if difficulties happen and come into your life and my life, rather than get bitter at God, rather than get worried and fearful, or rather than just throw up your hands and give up, we say, hey, There's an unbelieving world that's watching me, neighbors, friends, family members. I need to be faithful to the Lord. And, you know, the best witness that you can possibly have for Jesus is when things are tough and you still praise him and you still trust him and you're like Job and you say, as Job said in Job 13 verse 15, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Job didn't understand why the bottom had dropped out in his life, but Job was still going to look to the Lord, still trust the Lord. As it says in the book of Psalms, Lord, we look to you until you shall be gracious. And God is a gracious God, and he will deliver at the proper time.
Well, and I think it's so good to remember that that deliverance doesn't always take place on this earth. And to keep that in our minds, because we so often get very anxious and worried about our own health, about our loved ones' health, and if they're suffering through cancer, through another disease, through some kind of illness, we just, you know, we fervently pray asking God to heal them. And that's a good thing to pray. God wants us to pray that because God does heal. I mean, mm-hmm. He heals on this earth, but he doesn't always heal on this earth. He always heals, but it's just not always on this earth. And so just to remember his sovereignty in all of it. And, you know, I just read a friend's post the other day on Facebook that she just recently lost her dad. And while he was suffering with his disease, you know, people would put on her Facebook, you know, hey, we're praying, you know, God is good. He is faithful. We're praying for his healing. She said, but one thing that hasn't happened is after his death, people haven't still been telling me that God is good. Mm-hmm. And she said, but I'm here to tell you, the Lord did heal my dad. He healed him in mm-hmm. his presence, right. And God is still good.
Right.
He is still good. And so I thought, wow, that's pretty powerful if we can wrap our brains around that.
Well, it's what Job said. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And we have to get to that place in our Christian lives where we just trust him no matter what. Mm-hmm. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Listen, it's not bad to have understanding. Just don't lean on it.
Right.
Because God's ways are not our ways. God does things that we don't understand. Acts chapter 12, James, Peter, James, and John, John's brother James, he's killed. He's the first martyr of the 12. Judas doesn't count because he was an apostate, but James is the first martyr, Acts chapter 12, and then you have the deliverance of Peter. And so God doesn't deliver James in the way we think, took him to heaven, but he does deliver Peter, sends an angel, gets him out of prison. And you say, what gives, Lord? You know, you're James's wife. Why did you save Peter and not save James? Strange are the ways of God. He does things that we don't understand, but he never makes a mistake. He's perfect, and he is the God who has it all planned out from, he knows the end from the beginning. And when we die and get to heaven, we're going to say, Lord, now I see the plan, and you did all things well.
Right, you were good in all things.
You were good, you loved me, and you worked all this together for good because I love you. And so we can rest in that. Well, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We would love to hear from you. And I know we're about a minute from a break, but when we come back, you can call in during the break, and we'll take your call. We'd love to hear if you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony of how God helped you through a time of anxiety, and maybe what the Lord showed you through that, and what scripture really ministered to you in a time when you were battling in this war with worry, because what happened to you can help somebody else, and your story can help somebody else to say, hey, I can do that too. I can put that into practice. And so we want to be able to help one another. The Bible says iron sharpens iron as one man sharpens another. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here along with my wife, Debbie. How can you win in the war with worry? Give us a call, 888-589-8840, and let's talk.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here along with Debbie. We're talking about how to win in the war with worry. All of us deal with worry. It's just a common enemy. Everybody understands what it's like when you have something that is coming up on the horizon that has you anxious, worried, bothered, torn up inside, your stomach tied up in knots, that kind of thing. The Lord doesn't want us to live that way. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He wants us to experience peace, even in the midst of a storm, even in the midst of difficult situations, when everything is falling apart around us, so to speak. He wants us to be able to have His peace, the peace of God which surpasses all comprehension, the Scripture says, shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, if you have a brief testimony of how the Lord worked in your life in this particular area, we would love to hear from you. And so we have Don on the line from Mississippi. Don, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Brother Shreve, how are you and your wife doing this morning?
Doing well. How are you, Don?
I am well. God bless you guys. Hey, I am a retired military person, did my tour in Iraq, got back, and one of the biggest things that I was worried about was that, you know, I wasn't suffering with post-traumatic stress in any of those particulars, you know, and God put me in a situation where I had to come home. I was in Georgia, had to come home to Mississippi, and didn't think anything was wrong with me, anything like that, until I had to go to a A&D meeting, which is alcohol and drug, because I left a shot bottle of alcohol on my counter. But anyway, I went through that, and the guy got up and he started speaking. It was an ex-military guy, and when he did, it riddled my soul, because I didn't know that those things was happening to me. And so when I got back home, I was so afraid, so worried of how people would receive me back home. Mm-hmm. You know, being scarred with war and being scarred with those particulars, you know, when you're in war, when you're in those situations, man, sometimes you lose faith in a way. Mm-hmm. But God got a way of bringing you back. So I was so worried that when I got home that I wouldn't be able to fit back in. And I went in relationship after relationship, friendship after friendship. And I met this particular person that God put in my life. And that scripture you read about, let not your heart be worried, mm-hmm. but you believe in God, believe also in me. And I may have twisted that one a little bit. But yeah. It calmed my spirit to know that I can trust God, and that what I did wasn't terrible, but was necessary, and it eased my soul. So, you know, that's just my testimony of worrying. I was so worried. I was so caught up, man. You're talking about anxiety. I was having those anxiety attacks. I was just going mm-hmm. through it all, but God eased my soul. And the other statement I wanted to make, and it'll be real brief. I got a girlfriend. I decided for my 65th birthday, I was going to take a cruise, and I was going to take it by myself. So she is now worried. And I told her, I said, you have nothing to worry about. I just want to do this. So how do I ease her in this worrying war that we are dealing with?
Yeah, well, let me just say right off the bat, Don, thank you for your service to our country and for all that you experienced on behalf of us back in the States, and so we appreciate that so much. Well, I would just encourage her to keep her eyes on Jesus, and she's a believer.
Right. Yes, she is.
Okay. Okay. Now, this is just a girlfriend, not your wife.
Not my wife.
Okay. Now, you guys, you're going on a cruise together?
No, he's going.
Oh, you're going on a cruise. Okay.
Right.
She's staying home. You're going on the cruise?
Right.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Good. That's better, because I was thinking, they're not supposed to do that together. I would just let her know that, the Lord's really put this on your heart, as kind of like a bucket list thing, perhaps, and that God's going to take care of you and going to take care of her while you're gone. And so, unless she's got some kind of a word from the Lord that, hey, Don, don't do this. God has showed me that, it's kind of like the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. He said, hey, we shouldn't venture off when he was on the cruise ship, not the cruise ship, but the ship going to Rome. He said, the Lord has shown me this isn't going to end well. We need to not venture out. They didn't listen to him. So unless she's got some word like that from the Lord, I would just encourage her, say, hey, this is something that I feel like I need to do, and God's going to take care of us and take care of me through this. Mm-hmm. And so just encourage her that way. And just let her know, too, that you can understand where she's coming from with the worry. And, we need to encourage one another in the Lord. And so when another brother or sister is worried, just to gently help them to get their eyes back on the Lord. Because as Jesus told Martha, you're worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things really matter, really only one. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. So God bless you, my brother. Thank you so much for calling. And I hope that's helpful. Well, we have Lynn on the line from Arkansas. Lynn, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. I was just going to say, I know a lot of young girls have problems with anxiety these days. And I mean, people in general do, but some girls even go to institutions for depression and all of that. And anyway, so I'm kind of ministering to somebody who has that issue. And I saw a book called 365 Promises and Prayers for Dealing with Anxiety and Fear. And so I kind of looked it over, but I didn't have a lot of time. I bought the book. I saved the receipt because it's anything biblical. I really look at, discernment,
Right.
And it was good in a lot of ways, but it also had commentaries or little comments on most of the pages from somebody well-known. And a lot of them were well-known Christians, but some of them were like New Age, like Sarah Young, who mm-hmm. wrote Jesus Calling.
Right.
And she's out there.
Yeah.
And so I was just going to say, you have to be so careful when you're looking for resources. And
yes.
Because whoever's reading it doesn't know this stuff. They just latch on to whatever they can.
Right.
And I also called into a Bible call-in show and asked them what the Bible says about how they talk about anxiety, and they said fretting. And he gave me some verses, but I didn't know I was going to call in or the show was going to be about, so I don't have them handy, but that's what he said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, very good, Lynn. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate you listening to the program. Appreciate you calling in. We have Philip on the line from Texas. Philip, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning, Philip.
Love it when you and your wife are on the program.
Oh, this is Phil.
You compliment each other so well.
Is this my favorite?
You need to be on.
Is this my favorite Australian?
Mm-mm.
South Africa.
It's not that Phil.
Okay, I have a good friend, Philip, that who goes by Phil, and he has your same kind of accent, although he's an Australian, not a South African. It's hard for me to tell the difference between those.
It is. It happens to me almost every day, so no worries there. No,
yeah,
I love it when the two of you are on, because you do complement each other so well. And Miss Debbie has great insight. Love what you said about speaking and just concentrating on the attributes of God. I mean, what else is there, right? Man has nothing to offer.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's so
and
true.
And like the lady said in the prior call, just incredible amount of anxiety, especially amongst the young people these days.
Mm-hmm.
And truly sad.
Well, it is. And you know, Philip, I'm sorry. People are so afraid. Young people are so afraid about climate change. It is mind blowing. Climate change is a total hoax. God controls the climate. Man is not going to destroy the planet. God is going to eventually destroy the planet and build a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. But people have all sorts of fears, and they can be very unfounded. Lots of the things that we are afraid of and worry about never come to pass. And so we need to battle those fears that are rooted in lies. We need to battle that with the truth. And you're exactly right. There are a whole generation of younger people growing up that have all sorts of anxieties and fears and neuroses. And
I think so much of that is fueled by social media.
Yes.
So much of that anxiety is fueled by social media. Life was so much less complicated before that entered the scene. Not that nothing good comes from it, because good does come from it. But Satan loves nothing better than to say, take something good and just mess it up.
Right.
I mean, that he just loves to do that. And so there's so much pressure on these young kids today. They're getting so much false news and false information off of social media that just breeds anxiety and uneasiness in them. Do they have enough friends? Do they have enough likes? Are they getting invited to this party? Are they being accepted by this friend group or whatever it is? And I think we've talked about this on the program before. This is why it's so important that parents police that.
Mm-hmm.
You are not doing your kids any favors by just allowing them free reign on social media.
Right.
At all. You're not doing any favors.
Right. Well, and to teach our kids and grandkids that, hey, listen, the only person that really matters is God. And so to please God. Now, when I'm pleasing to God, then he makes my enemies to be at peace with me, the scripture says. And so, you know, we don't get points for being obnoxious, and the Lord doesn't want us to be like that. But I need to be faithful to the Lord. I need to please the Lord. And if I please him, as Enoch did, he obtained this testimony before his being taken up into heaven, that he pleased God. When I please God, then it doesn't matter whom I displease. But if I displease God, it doesn't matter whom I please. And being popular with the world is not the tree to bark at. We need to just say, Lord, my life belongs to you, and teach our children how pleasing God, being faithful to him, that is success. And as he told Joshua, hey, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night. You'll be careful to do it. Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success. When we obey God, trust him, and walk in his ways, then we can know that we will be successful in his eyes, and that's what matters. So God bless you, Philip. Thank you for calling in. We have Debbie on the line from Texas. Debbie, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey. Oh, I am so happy to be on. Thank you.
Thank you.
I love being on like Phil. I love being on when Debbie's here. I love it. I love to hear you both together, because it is like Phil said, complimentary, you know.
Thank you.
I was thinking to relate to what Debbie said about anxiety, and she said it happened at a certain time, and like I've had that, and like when you like going down to bed, and then all of a sudden you start thinking about something, and your heart just wants to just jump right out of your chest, and you're just like sitting there, you know. And something just dawned on me about that, is that it's usually because of something that is not true. Okay? Mm-hmm. So there is the Lord trying to show you by your anxiety that it's because it's not true. Okay? Because how else, right? His truth is perfect peace. Okay? And my son and I were talking about Mark 4:35, where Jesus said, okay, let's go over to the other side of the lake, right?
Right.
And then in the middle, they're like freaking out because he went to sleep. And and they did not remember the first thing he said.
Right.
Let's go over to the other side.
Right.
That means that he's going to take you to the other side. Mm-hmm. It's like, we have to remember the promises of the Lord first. That's true. That'll keep us in perfect peace. And, you know, and it'll go, because the Lord's sitting there going, hey, don't you know I already told you? We're going to the other side.
Amen. Yeah, one of my favorite sermons is on that passage in Mark 4, and I called it What to Do When Trouble Comes. And that's one of my first points. You trust the Lord's word. He said they were going over to the other side. So what should those disciples have done in the midst of that storm? Just keep rowing the boat and just trust the Lord and trust his word. Remember this about fear, the acrostic F-E-A-R. Fear is false evidence appearing real. And trust in the truth of the Lord's word and keep your eyes fixed on him, and he will keep you in perfect peace. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. And go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And God will use you as his witness. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.